بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا وانفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد أوحينا إلى موسى أن أسر بعبادي فاضرب لهم طريقا في البحر يبسا لا تخاف دركا ولا تخشى فأتبعهم فرعون بجنوده فغشيهم من اليم ما غشيهم وأضل فرعون قومه وما هدى. يا بني إسرائيل قد أنجيناكم من عدوكم وواعدناكم جانب الطور الأيمن ونزلنا عليكم المن والسلوى كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ولا تطغوا فيه فيحل عليكم غضبي ومن يحلل عليه غضبي فقد هوى. وإني لغفار لمن تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا ثم اهتدى. صدق الله العظيم. عبنا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us, mashallah, to come together to the sixth part of Surah Taha. We ask Allah for guidance and tawfiq. He allow us to implement these verses in our lives and allow us to appreciate the beauty of the storytelling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beauty of the Quran in general. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So I think inshallah it's probably going to go to and do about a page each time. So about maybe 10 parts altogether for Surah Taha. And so this next section is a very interesting one. And I apologize, someone asked me to put the entire, like all the Arabic with it. It completely slipped my mind, so I put the page right here. So if anyone wants to look at it. Yeah, so inshallah, I'll try my best to remember that for next time, inshallah. I do take these comments always to work on these things, inshallah. So please forgive me for that, for the person who asked for that. Okay, so the last time, just to give everyone a brief reminder about what happened, right? So in short, the first thing was Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and the magicians they met. And Musa alayhi salam tried to advise them. And so the magicians, you see a very interesting personality that they had, that they weren't people that just rejected what they heard. Rather, they started to internalize, made mashwara, thought about it. And you see that, mashallah, because of, like, they're not like just Fir'auni, right? They're not like Pharaonic, right? They're people that think about these things. And so you see a different character. They, with adab, they tell Musa alayhi salam, do you want to start or do we start, right? And we spoke about even faking adab is good in Islam. It's a good thing to do. You know, mashallah, it shows. Allah Ta'ala might even guide people because of that, right? Like we spoke about. And then, mashallah, Musa alayhi salam, he had a bit of fear when they threw their staffs down because he felt that maybe people will be convinced. If he himself is convinced, then everyone else will surely, you know, might be convinced because of it. So Allah Ta'ala told him not to be afraid. And you guys know what happened afterwards. That, mashallah, they threw down their staffs. He threw down his staff. And it swallowed every single one of theirs. And they realized that they themselves are experts of this field, right? And this is the thing, by the way, about miracles. Like sometimes people would say this, that I'm not really like the Quran really doesn't affect me. Like I'm not dropped to the ground, right? Well, the Quran came for people who are rejecting it. Do you not reject the Quran? No. So you're already inside Islam. So Allah Ta'ala already convinced you. What do you want, like a triple, quadruple convincing? Like, you know? So what happens is what? When you study and learn, and you read the Arabic, and you start to understand it, then you start to see the more beauty, the beautiful parts of the Quran, etc. But the part that slams you to the ground, that's for non-Muslims. Allah Ta'ala made it like that. So magicians obviously know magic. So when Musa alayhi salam brings something like that, that miracle, they're like, that's not magic. So similarly with the Quraysh, Allah Ta'ala is kind of telling them that, I'm bringing you a book in Arabic, words in Arabic. Can you produce something like this? And they're just like, completely stuck in the same way, right? So basically that was the connection between those two parts. So the magicians, obviously after that, you all know, Fir'aun got really upset. After he got upset, he was like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to crucify you, I'm going to cut your arms and legs off, etc. And I'm going to make an example out of you. And the magicians tell him straight up in his face that do whatever you want. No problem, you only control this world, right? And so the idea here is that, mashallah, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned this very beautifully. He said that the magicians started off their day like kafir. And that by the end of the day, they became one of the closest friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became the awliya of Allah. And this is, by the way, what I want to stress, because what did they do? أفضل الجهاد كلمة حق عند السلطان جائر. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the greatest of all, like jihad, meaning fighting the path of Allah, is that a person say a word of truth in front of an oppressive king. And so, did the magicians do that? 100%. MashaAllah, they were so brave. And so they became the greatest of awliya in the single moment. MashaAllah. And then after they talked about how Allah Ta'ala, He starts to interject, you know, He speaks in the middle of it. And he starts to tell the, you know, he shows how proud he is of them and what status is he prepared for them. That was just a nutshell. And I just wanted to, the point I wanted to stress was the last one. Is that the idea of, we go through a lot of trials in life. I spoke a little bit about it in Jumu'ah today as well. That we go through a lot of trials, a lot of imtihanat, and we feel almost like overburdened and taxed because of them. Rather, the believer should be what? They should tell themselves that maybe because I'm firm, because I don't budge, Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me. So when you hear the story of the magicians, think about people who were given the option to leave their Islam, to bend, to decide to not do it. And what did they say? No. And because of that, they earned Allah's pleasure. So when you and I go through a trial, just tell yourself, Allah Ta'ala might be pleased with me because of it. You know what? And I'll just stay firm. Okay? So is this better? So we'll continue now. This was actually the last slide from the last part. We couldn't finish it because of the Isha time. Is this better? Or the story in the Exodus from the Old Testament? Right? And I told you before that this entire passage is not there. What's in the Old Testament, right? In the Hebrew Bible. It says, but Pharaoh called the wise men and sorcerers and magicians of Egypt. And they also did the same things by their magic arts. Each one threw down his staff and it became a serpent. But Aaron's staff swallowed up the other staffs. Still, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. That's it. Right? And I mentioned to some brothers that it's possible because the Jewish religion doesn't allow people to accept. Right? It's like the Jews and the Gentiles, right? Jews are Jewish and Gentiles are everybody else, right? And so if you show the part where they accepted Islam, it's kind of like a bit of a problem, right? So Allah Ta'ala made it very clear that, no, there was a bit more to this that you kind of skipped over. Right? And there are a lot of interesting things like that. We're going to touch on one more today. But I just, you know, you appreciate these things. You're like, wow, that was some good stuff right there. Okay? So now, mashallah, what happens after this part? What happens after the magicians? Like, yeah, they accepted Islam, and then Musa alayhi salam goes back to Fir'aun, maybe the punishments come down. You guys remember that part? Like the punishments come down from the sky, right? And like Allah Ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salam, and they're planning to leave Egypt, etc. Right? There are a lot of things that happen, right? What's the next part in the Quran? وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنِ اضْرِبْ I'm sorry, Muhammad, just give me one second. لِيَصْوَاكَ الْبَحْرِ لَا تَخَافُ دَرَكَ وَلَا تَخْشَىٰ Yeah, that's right, right? Okay, so mashallah, if you kept going, that means I was right. Okay, so the next part in the Quran, after this part of the magicians, is the part where Allah Ta'ala says, we revealed to Musa to strike your staff onto the ocean. Is that chronologically tarikhi? Is that right? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skipped what? The entire thing, right? Anasri bi ibadi laylan, right? Right. So Allah Ta'ala says, we revealed to Musa, stand out at nighttime, go out and, you know, hit your staff on the ocean and don't be scared, right? And, you know, stuff like that, right? So before we get into this ayah, what I want to make clear to everybody, you're wondering why? Why? Okay, so what is the purpose of Surah Taha? What is the second ayah? مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى We did not reveal this Qur'an so that you could feel sad or distressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not focusing on any of the parts that are difficult. Allah only focuses on the parts that are victories. Right? Where Musa alayhi salam gets his revelation from Allah. Where Musa alayhi salam is freed from the magicians, where the magicians accept Islam. And now this part, where Fir'aun's about to be drowned, is this a good part or a bad part? It's a really good part. What happens is this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a very important principle, and I want everyone to remember this, about depression. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here, that in order to remove sadness, you have to bring stories of success. When you want to remove someone's grief, anxiety, you don't go and tell people, oh, and by the way, then the punishments came down, and Fir'aun was a hard-hearted guy, and he ended up drowning and dying, and Musa alayhi salam's people were abused more, and more babies were killed. Are you helping the problem here? Right? You know, same thing we do to people that end up losing a child or something, right? We end up, sister, have sabr, you know? If you don't have sabr, you know, that's like a people Jahannam way, and, you know, khalidina fiha. Are you helping, brother or sister? We're not helping at all. What do we have to be doing? Don't worry, sister. Just like you, many prophets also lost children, but mashallah, Allah to give them high darajat. The prophets are some lost, right? You know, Ibrahim alayhi salam had to sacrifice, right? But, you know, Allah helped him. You know, like, you can mention good stories and people can feel better. So Allah Ta'ala tells us that, look, misery loves company. People, like, when they're miserable, they want to make you feel miserable too. 100%. 100%, right? That's the way it is, right? Especially in our Desi community. That if I don't have something and someone else has it, nah. He must feel the same way I am. And so Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is telling us very beautifully that, look, if someone's feeling sad and down, you just mention good things in front of them. Don't mention anything bad. Because you're only going to make them feel worse. And this is very important for dhikr. You have to cheer yourself up. If you want to do dhikr properly, you need your peace of mind. I stress this to everybody all the time. I tell you not to fight with your spouses, don't fight with your children, because that peace of mind that you need to wake up and read your Quran. And once you get angry, you can't even open the book anymore. So this is the idea here. When you get depressed, can you read dhikr? Can you do Quran dhikr? So Allah Ta'ala says, look, you got to cheer yourself up. If you got to maintain your dhikr, O Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to maintain your dhikr, you cannot get too depressed. Stay active and happy. So Allah reveals this part here, which is what? وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَسْرِي بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ طَرِيقًا فِي الْبَحْرِ يَبَسًا لَا تَخَافُ دَرَكًا وَلَا تَخْشَىٰ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says very beautifully, O Musa, travel with the slaves, my servants, at nighttime and strike a path across the sea. We're already at the Red Sea. Musa is with his staff, ready to launch it, right? And what is it? لَا تَخَافُ دَرَكًا. Don't be scared. This is how many times now? The fourth time. Allah just keeps telling, don't be scared. O Prophet of Islam, why are you scared? In the Hijrah, because what do you think the migration of Musa alayhi salam is? From Egypt to wherever? It is the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, same exact thing. From Makkah to where? To Medina. Why are you scared, O Prophet of Islam? You got nothing to worry about. Don't be scared of anyone catching you. That's what Allah says in the ayah. Don't be scared of darakan. Darakan means someone who's catching you from behind. وَلَا تَخْشَى. And Allah says, don't be scared again. What is the difference between khawf and khashya? Khawf is your general fear. And khashya is a physical fear. What is the physical fear here? The Bani Israel could have. Very interesting. And I don't think we ever think about this. Allah is highlighting it. When Musa hits the staff on the ocean, right? He strikes the ground and it opens up. Now he tells Bani Israel to go into the water. Would you be a little scared? like, what do you think is in the water? Sharks, like, I don't know, squids, octopi, I think that's the plural, right? It's definitely not the other one. Okay, yeah, so like, they're like animals, they're like monsters, like, the water is like what? It's like walls, right? Katawdil azim, Allah says in the Quran, they're like mountains. And they're just water, they're just standing there. You could be a little scared, right? So Allah says, لا تخافوا دركن, don't have any mental fear about Fir'aun catching you. ولا تخشى, don't be afraid, no squid is going to touch you. The sharks are not going to hurt you. Just walk straight through. Allah makes it very clear. And to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his hijrah, you think anyone's going to touch you? Stay in the cave. No one's going to harm you. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So then what? فَاتْبَعَهُ فِرْعَوْنُ بِجُنُودِهِ فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. Allah says, then Fir'aun chased with his troops. Right? They all came. All the soldiers of Fir'aun came. In one narration mentioned 600,000 of them. Coming with at full force to the ocean to try to catch Bani Israel. In the books you'll find, it was like trying to catch, it seemed like a cat trying to catch a mouse that was fleeing from them. One second. Okay. So, فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ocean, the yam, circled them. مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. You had to see it. مَا غَشِيَهُمْ. What an encircling. Like, how do you say? Like, what an amazing way it captured them. Right, Allah makes it clear that the it was so impressive. Because you imagine 600,000 soldiers running in the water, right, thinking they're going to catch Bani Israel. And Bani Israel reaches to the other side. Musa alayhi salam tries again to the staff. He tries to activate the staff, right? He tries to hit it on the ground. Is it working? It's not. Because the power was never in the staff. The power is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Musa alayhi salam tries to do that, وَتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَحْوَى Allah ta'ala says, leave the ocean completely at normal. Don't touch it, Musa. إِنَّهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُغْرَقُونَ They are drowned people. So imagine 600,000 soldiers and the water just comes toppling down on all of them, surrounding you from every single angle. What a type of fear, scare, worry, concern. What anxiety will people have at that moment? That the waters you thought were mountains just start crushing down. You know the fear that Bani Israel should have had? Allah Ta'ala says, Fir'aun and them, think about that. مَا غَشِيَهُمْ What a terrible way to go. وَضَلَّ فِرْعَوْنُ قَوْمَهُ وَمَا هَدَى Fir'aun truly misguided his people, did not guide them whatsoever. He misguided them in terms of shirk, and in terms of guidance on the road, if he just told them to stop, alright, I'm not performing this magic, this trick right now. I'm not the God who's doing this. What did he tell them instead? Does anyone know? Fir'aun actually told his people at the time, he said, look at what I did. I opened up the path in the ocean so I could catch them in there. He was completely misguided, Allah Ta'ala says. He had no idea what he was doing. Right? And that's where Allah Ta'ala ends the story of Fir'aun. He went way off track. And I think people were trying to expecting, what about the moment at the last moment, and you know him talking to Allah. But this is not Surah Yunus. This is Surah Taha, two different surahs. Right? This is not about showing that to the Prophet ﷺ that what happens at the last moment of Fir'aun. This is just showing the success of Nabi Musa ﷺ. That's the point here. Okay, inshallah, one other day we'll definitely cover that. We don't have enough time to talk about it. Right? What did you expect though? We expected that Allah will spend a bit more time talking about Fir'aun, how he demolished him and destroyed him, and the spears came up trying to attack, and then the ocean came and surrounded him, and then a shark came and devoured one other soldier. We want all this like battle action, epic scene. Right? We want these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't allow us it. Because why? Because a tyrant, a person at the last moment, wants a scene of valor. Right? He wants that at the last moment of my life, people see how noble I was, how powerful I was, how mighty I was. Right? Like Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl, if you guys remember at the time of his death, he was taken down by whom? Two small teenagers. From the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They came and struck him down. And one of them wasn't strong enough to cut his head off. So they kept trying, they hit his head, but the neck wouldn't cut. Right? One of them hit with his full force onto the horse of Abu Jahl. And the horse came crashing down. He was stuck under his horse. That's a very nice way to go, right? Very, very, mashallah, like wow, Zabardust, right? Embarrassing. And then the most humble man, a man who used to take care of sheep, on the outskirts of Makkah, Ibn Mas'ud, the Ilan, who came and told him that this is your final end, right? And what does Abu Jahl say at that time? He says, when you cut off my head, keep a little bit of my neck on there, because it looks more manly. He's trying to save himself at the last moment to make it look a bit more impressive. You know, yeah, I'm about to die. It should look good. But Allah doesn't even give them that opportunity. Every jabbar, every tyrant in all of history, Allah that is saying that they want the story of valor and glory at the end. They want it. And Allah makes it what? Fir'aun, did anyone cry over him? No one cried over him. He was even in his own home. There was no pyramid. You know, they buried the pharaohs, or they placed the pharaohs where? In the pyramids. Allah says, this guy, you think I'm going to give him a pyramid? You think I'm going to give him anything for what he did? No one's even going to know that he died. That's how bad it was. You know, people found out later on what just happened, right? It was a tragic incident, right? It's a tragedy. Same thing with Abu Jahl. Does anybody know about his death? I feel like this is the first time people heard about it. So this is the way Allah Ta'ala deals with these things. So I want to focus on the next discussion, and inshallah, it'll be very enjoyable. Because the Quran, it finishes, the story of Musa Azim here finishes, right? With Fir'aun, etc. The Quran shifts to a very unique discussion. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's anxiety should have been taken care of by now. All his distress, all his worries, because in the same way that Allah Ta'ala took care of Fir'aun, he's going to take care of Abu Jahl, he's going to take care of the Quraysh, right? It's the same exact analogy Allah Ta'ala is making. But the interesting part is this, the story doesn't end there. Surah Taha has at least five more pages. Right? At least four or five pages. And you're wondering, what is Allah Ta'ala going to talk about? The Prophet is in Mecca. Where is the Prophet going to go? To Medina. There are challenges in Medina, right? So the Prophet actually is going to receive something called like a prophecy here. He's going to receive some nubuwa, a warning about the future. This is what the Prophet receives. So we would have thought the story would end here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always reveals something extra so that the believers could be ready for the future. What's going to happen next, O Prophet of Islam? You need to know about these things. So pay attention. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what you need to focus on. It's ajeeb. It's ajeeb what Allah focuses on here. Ya Bani Israel, qad anjaynakum min aduwikum. O Bani Israel, ayah number 80. O children of Israel, we saved you from your enemy. And we appointed for you an appointed time that you're going to meet me on Mount Tur on the right side. Was anzalna alaykum al-manna wa salwa. Anyone know what manna wa salwa is? It's like a food, right? Yeah. Manna wa salwa is quail. Huh? It's a restaurant. Manna wa salwa. That's right, it is a restaurant. So the man and the salwa. So salwa, they mentioned, was a quail. It was a type of meat that they had. And the man was a bread, right? And in the Torah, it's described like a bread that it tastes like wafers that have like honey. Something very delight. It's very delightful. I don't know exactly what it is, right? I haven't tasted it. If any of you tasted it, mashallah, please come and tell me because I would love to know. Okay. But the funny part was this: the word man. So salwa means tasliya, to make comfort, right? Because when people have meat, it's very, very, it's a good meal. You get happy, right? If we get zabiha halal, alhamdulillah, right? Everything feels so much better. And man is the funny thing, Allah calls it a grace, a bounty, roti, right? When you have roti, it's just a bounty. Having bread with your like, imagine you're just eating ghost, just straight. Just not our people. It just doesn't feel right. It's like something is missing, right? Like, I need some bread with this thing, right? And so Allah Ta'ala says, manna wa salwa. These are both put together. And man in Arabic, again, means grace. You know what it means in Hebrew? It means ma hadha. And I'm not even joking. It means, what is this? Right? Because when Bani Israel first saw it, they're like, what is this? Right? And so the Hebrew, with the word man, it sounds exactly like the word what is this in their language. Allah Ta'ala knows best. That's just a side point. كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Allah is just telling them, I gave you this, I gave you this, and I gave you this. Eat from the good things we provided you. وَلَا تَتَغَوْ فِيهِ. Don't overstep your bounds. فَيَحِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ غَضَبِي. And then my wrath, my anger will descend on you. Allah is telling them, look, I gave you this halal everything. Now, you got to do right with it. Eat it when I tell you to eat it, and don't store it, don't do all these other things with it, and stay within bounds. Or else, what happens if you do these things? My wrath will descend on you. My anger will descend on you. وَمَنْ يَحْلِلْ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبِ فَقَدْ هَوَى. Allah Ta'ala says, whoever my anger descends on, he will be hawa, completely fallen. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. Allah Ta'ala says, when the stars fall, when the stars disappear, how high are the stars? Very high. Allah Ta'ala says, when they fall, when they disappear, Allah Ta'ala says, you can be in such a high position, but the moment you disobey me, you're going to drop straight down, the same way the stars fall. Does anyone know anyone in Islamic history? One guy who was really, really high with Allah, and then he ended up messing up all the way in the beginning of history? Shaytan. And whose story will end Surah Taha? Shaytan. It's very ajeeb how Allah puts everything together. Okay? So now, mashallah, there's a very beautiful point here, but Allah says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنُ وَعَمِنَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. And Allah says, but O Bani Israel, I am forgiving to those who make tawbah, those who believe and those who do righteous deeds, and they decide to stay on the right path. If you are doing what you need to do, don't worry about the anger of Allah. If you made a mistake, just make tawbah. Okay? Now, Iblis was one guy who didn't make tawbah, and then he got his punishment. Who was someone who did make tawbah? Adam alayhi salam. And so both the stories are going to come at the end of the surah, and Allah makes it clear in an indication here. So now the story starts. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What has caused you to rush, O Musa? Where are we now? We just jumped again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he's focusing on points. He's not telling you a history lesson here. Remember this. Allah ta'ala, you know, like in the Quran, he talks to you while he's relating a story to you. In the Quran, he jumps places. Because why? Because he wants you to think about different things at different times. Allah ta'ala has a very unique way of telling you something. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. Where are we now? Allah Ta'ala promised them on the side of Mount Tur that I have an appointment with you. So Musa alayhi salam went up for the appointment. But what did Musa alayhi salam do? What caused you to rush? He came way too early. Why? What happened, right? So now Musa alayhi salam, he sees Bani Israel. They come to Mount Tur. It is the mountain which Allah Ta'ala promised him that I'm going to speak to you and give you the Torah. I'm going to give you the divine scripture, exactly what you need to do. So Musa alayhi salam comes there with Bani Israel. And he leaves Bani Israel and he goes, and Allah says, come up to meet me for 30 days. Right? For 30 days. Right? And so then Musa alayhi salam leaves who behind? Harun alayhi salam. Harun alayhi salam is taking care of everybody, right? And everything is fine. Musa alayhi salam sees everything's okay. So Musa alayhi salam says, you know what? Allah Ta'ala called me. I can go a little early, right? You know, we can have that conversation like we did in the beginning, right? So in the Valley of Tuwa. It's like, I want to talk about all these other things again with Allah. You know, if I can get to talk to Allah, might as well go a little early, right? So Musa alayhi salam came early. And the first thing, or they mentioned this is the first thing that happened, or maybe even the last thing before Allah Ta'ala stopped talking to him. It's like, oh, by the way, Musa, why'd you come so early? Now, I don't know about you, but if Allah asks you, why'd you come so early? An qawmika, from your people, O Musa. Okay? Musa alayhi salam, in our understanding of these verses here, Musa alayhi salam came alone. He left everyone behind. This is the first meeting with Allah. There's a second one which comes up in another surah. This is the first time Musa alayhi salam goes to meet Allah, you know, after like whatever, the Valley of Tuwa. And so he comes alone. He leaves everyone behind from his community. And he comes by himself. Allah Ta'ala, it seems like Allah is upset. Alright? So what does Musa alayhi salam say? Qalahum ula'i ala athari. Oh Allah, he doesn't even say Rabbi. You know, usually you start Rabbi, right? Rabbi innahum, you know, like very beautiful innahum, innaka, inni, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun, something, right? He doesn't, hum ula'i ala athari. He says, Allah, they're right here. Hum ula'i. They're right here. Ala athari, on my footsteps. When you say someone's on your footsteps, they're walking in the same way you were walking. Oh Allah, I didn't leave them misguided. They're completely fine. I left Harun with them. Everything's okay, Allah. Hum ula'i ala, they're like right here, Allah. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي And I came really quick to you, Rabbi, لِتَرْضَى So you can be happy. So he's like, he's you can see the, Imam Razi rahimahullah says it beautifully. It looks like Musa is panicking. And I agree, he's nervous. I'd be nervous too if God called me out. Why'd you come so quickly? And you're wondering, and I'm wondering, what did he do wrong? What did Musa do wrong? This is what he did wrong. There are certain actions in Islam. And in terms of what Musa alayhi salam did wrong here, it's a mistake, right? He thought something was good, and then Allah Ta'ala corrects him on it, okay? So, can you, when it comes to nafls, nafl prayers, you can make them basically any time in the day, right? Other than those Muharram times, right? And the earlier you do them, the better, right? Much better, mashallah, right? And, you know, you can almost take this as a delil. Maulana, you tell us all the time to come early, rush for prayer and stuff. Now, look at this, the ayah says don't rush. Brother, there are two different things here, okay? So, let me explain it. So, because, you know, nafl is what? Also coming early for salah, etc., right? That's a nafl. That's fine. It's not about a nafl here. What is a hukum to a nabi? Are they nafls? Everything is fard. Now, let's say it's zuhr time. It's not even zuhr time yet. The waqt didn't come in. 12:30. You're like, Allah, I want to talk to you right now. 11:30. Allah, I'm super excited. I know it's fajr time, but if I make asr right now, you might be really happy with it. Now, is that correct? No. So Allah Ta'ala tells Musa, you are not allowed to do that. You are not allowed to go past the time that I gave you. Okay? So the idea here is that, and I'm sorry, I probably flipped the slide somewhere, so I'll just explain it right now, and if I find the slide later, I'll tell you. The idea is that Musa alayhi salam, everything is fault for him. And Musa alayhi salam would love, doesn't it, every Nabi, anyone would love to talk to Allah. Who doesn't like to talk to Allah? Everyone loves to talk to Allah. But you must talk to Allah when He told you to talk to Him. You're not allowed to break things or bypass them. Why is Allah Ta'ala upset, or why is Allah Ta'ala angry, or, you know, He tells Musa alayhi salam what he did was wrong? Because Musa alayhi salam needs to understand, as a Nabi, you talk to Allah when Allah Ta'ala tells you to talk to Him. You're not allowed to decide these things on your own. Now, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how long is this tahajjud? Unbelievably long. Extraordinarily long. Beautifully long, mashallah. Beautiful prayers. But if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent the entire day in salah talking to Allah, would that be the right thing to do? Allah is saying, O Nabi of Islam, I know you like to talk to me, but there's a time and place for you to talk to me. If you were to talk to me the entire day and leave your community, what's going to happen to them? So Allah Ta'ala makes it clear, O Musa, I gave you a time, I gave you a thing, I gave you everything here, right? You need to make sure to... Man, I have no idea where I put these slides. I'm so sorry. Astaghfirullah. Okay. So, Allahumma salli Muhammad. Astaghfirullah. That was my bad. So many a time we love to spend our lives in worship, right? But Allah Ta'ala tells them to come back. So, now, Musa alayhi salam is told by Allah Ta'ala, فَإِنَّا قَدَ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِن بَعْدِكَ وَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي O Musa alayhi salam, we have tested your people after you. مِن بَعْدِكَ Because you came a little early. You left a little early. وَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِي This man named Samiri, he misguided them. Just for what? Just coming a little early. Right? It was a matter of what? The scholars say it's either within 20 days or 10 days. Allah Ta'ala, if Samiri finds an opportunity, and Samiri goes and misguides everybody. Okay? So now what is the point here? The point is this, and I want to stress this to everyone here. You know, who did Musa Aleyhisselam leave behind? Harun Aleyhisselam. So we got to figure this out. Isn't he a Nabi? Yeah, he's a Nabi, right? But what's the difference between Harun and Musa? Like, why did they get misguided when Harun was there? Yeah, there's a question about Rasul and stuff like that. But people, their personalities match with different people, right? Like when someone talks, you're like, I like this guy's personality, so I listen to them, right? And so Harun al-Islam, you can see him, his personality is a very nice guy. He's a very, very, very nice guy. He's like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And who's Musa al-Islam like? Umar radiallahu anhu. When Bani Israel, if they're like wild sheep, when the shepherd comes with his staff, where are they moving? Nowhere. They stay put. But when the shepherd leaves, so no matter who you leave behind, if it's not you, it's not you. And this is why if there's an imam or a maulana or someone who's listening, or maybe in the future of this recording and someone, some imam of the future listens, is like, I need some bayan points. I want to remind this point to every imam out there that look, you are you. The community, by you staying there, you will create change. But the moment you decide to go somewhere and leave and pretend like, oh, they don't need me and stuff like that, what's going to happen? Misguidance. Okay, I make this clear. It's a very ajeeb point Allah is making. The Nabi, another Nabi was there. But if Musa is not there, there's going to be misguidance. Okay? So now Samiri. Who's Samiri? I have a lot of theories. And I want to save these theories for later. I wish there were a lot of youth here. They would love these Dajjali theories, but not enough time to talk about these things, inshallah. Okay? I'm going to focus on the Arabic here. Samiri, for Samara Yasmuru, means someone who talks a lot at nighttime. Samara, they say when a person is awake at night, just talking and talking and talking. This man Samiri, from his word, from the actual linguistic analysis of his word, is someone who spends his entire time talking to people. Just talking and talking and talking. Okay? And you're wondering, like, what's the problem here? A guy who talks? Allah is highlighting something really important. The problem of the source of trouble in communities. When people keep talking. Right? The more you talk, the more you speak, the more gupshup you make, the more ghibat will come out. Lying will come out. Eventually, right? Eventually. If you talk for too long, if you just keep talking, eventually all these haram things start to come out. When a da'wah gets way too long, people start to feel really uncomfortable because then people start talking about random stuff. Samiri is a guy who will have a conversation with everybody. Just talk about anything. Right? That's what they said. Samiri was a munafiq. He was a hypocrite. Mind you, when the Prophet ﷺ gets into Medina, who does he meet? People who are hypocrites, who end up talking and talking. So Samiri is in the same way. They mention a lot of different things about him. He's very good at talking. In Islam, at night time is for sleep. When people actually come at night, they should actually go to take some rest. And if you want to talk to someone, your wife or your husband is there to talk to. Unfortunately, this is the only person we don't talk to. Like Mawlana Tariq Jamil Sahib said, his wife complained to him and said that even though you're at home, your phone is like your second wife. Right? That's what happens. A lot of times we don't even talk to the person next to us. You have all these kids in the same room. And every single one of them is playing Among Us on their phones with each other. They're not even talking to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no conversations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, you got your family to talk to. Why are you talking to all these people? And you know this person's bad for you. Yet we're always attracted to the guy who's bad. I see it all the time that the guy we know is causing some issues, everyone wants to sit around him. Because he's interesting. It's interesting. Samiri's the interesting guy. That's why people translated this as the entertainer. He was a guy who entertains people. So what is entertainment of today? Is text messages. Be very careful. Be careful of the Facebook, the WhatsApp, and things like that. Okay? Allah says Samiri misguided them. Why did Allah mention him? Why did Allah say it was Samiri? Because there's an issue in the Old Testament. Let me read it out to you. So you are clear on what the heck did the Jews say, which is ajib. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, this is again in the Old Testament, they gathered around Harun and said, Harun, make us gods who will go before us. For this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. And what does Aaron say? He answered them, says, take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol. Astaghfirullah. That's what everyone's saying in their head. Like, what did you just say? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that no Nabi would do anything even close to this, you weird people. Dude, this is beyond jahalat. It's like Musa alayhi came, left. He's like, I left Harun to take care. He's like, hey, everybody, let's do shirk. And I'm like, what are you saying? So Allah then makes it clear, look, it's not Harun who misguided them. It was Samiri who misguided them. Okay? So in that way, the Prophet is also told by Allah, people are going to defame you. Call you Majnoon. Call you Pagal. Call you Sahir. Call you everything. Don't worry. I preserve the name of Harun in my Quran, and I'll preserve your name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one should even be scared of that. The Nabi sallallahu name will be anytime disrespected. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? So I found the slide now, mashallah. Any case. So now Musa alayhi salam, he hears this. Allah says, we tested your people and Samiri misguided them. As-salamu alaykum Musa. The conversation is over. So Musa alayhi salam is what now? Unbelievably sad. فَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَى قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. Okay? I completely flipped up the order, I'm so sorry. Okay, no problem, I'll just give, I know exactly what I need to say. فَرَجَعَ مُوسَى إِلَى قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ. He went completely angry. Asifa. And completely depressed. Okay, for those people that know Arabic, you'll appreciate this. The word ghadban is in the superlative form, of like a hyper form of like a person who is ghadib. Right? Like for example, you have the word dharib, which means hitter. Right? A person who hits. Right? But when you say darab, super hitter. A guy who beats the heck out of anybody who comes. Okay? So when you flip the form, it becomes a little bit more. Like for example, someone could be rahim. Someone who has mercy. Rahman. Super form. Ghadib. Ghadban. Musa is not just a little angry. He is mad. Unbelievably mad. Because I told you what kind of personality he has. But more than his anger, and I want to make this clear to everyone, more than his anger, he's asifa. He's very sad. The word asif is the root word. It is the noun form for sadness. Okay? What does that mean? You know when I say someone is a mercy to the community, are they literally a mercy? No, they can't be literally a mercy, but they're so nice, they're so great, I'd like they're a mercy. Someone could be modest, but like this lady, she's modesty. She is modesty. When Allah said Musa alayhi salam was asif, he's like, if you opened the dictionary and looked up sadness, whose picture would you see? Musa alayhi salam. That's how unbelievably sad he is. And I want to make this clear. Musa is not. He's a mad guy. He's an angry guy for sure. Like he gets upset, but he's also extremely sad and grieved. His people are committing shirk. Do you think he's happy about it? He's also upset because why? Who's he also blaming? I did it myself. Why did I come early? Why did I think this was a good idea? So he ends up. Second time it fell. Okay. He's like, why did I do this? Third time. SubhanAllah. Okay. He says, why did I do this? Why did I go early? What's wrong with me? And so he comes back to his people and he goes and says, Ya qawmi alam ya'idukum wa rabbukum wa'adan hasana. Oh my people, did your Lord not promise you a good promise? Afatala alaykum al-ahd. He says to my people, did your Lord not promise you a good promise? Did my time from you become too long? Did you want to bring the wrath of your Lord down on you? Fa'akhlaftu maw'idi, so you broke my promise? What happened? Like what? He's trying to get a reason from them. He's really legitimately trying to understand because he's depressed. You guys are people of Tawheed, of Islam. What happened? In a couple of days this happened? In a couple of days? You end up doing shirk? You make a calf? You make everything? You start worshipping this stuff? What happened? Right? And so the people of Bani Israel, the way the Torah made them out to be, seemed like they wanted this to happen. But in the Quran, it's not like that. The Quran, they come out as very sincere people. They go and say, we didn't even break our promise. They said, Musa, we'll be real honest, we didn't choose to do this. We didn't do this on our own choice. Walakinna, they go and say, rather we were burdened. Humilna, we were carrying awzara min zinatil qawm, the sinful load of a people of the adornments of a people, of the jewelry of a people. They make it clear that it's not because of what we did. Is rather we were carrying the jewelry before they left Egypt. Before they left Egypt, the Bani Israel, they took the jewelry of the people of Firaun. How so? So they were honest people. And because they were honest people, people trusted them with their stuff. And so when Musa Aysen gave the hukum that you have to leave, they didn't have enough time to bring it back to them. So rather Musa Aysen said, just pick it up and go, and Allah will tell us what to do with it afterwards. So they pick up all this jewelry. They pick up all this jewelry and they don't know what to do with it. So they pick it up, and this is what happened. So it's mentioned here, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, when Musa alayhi salam went to meet his Lord, Harun alayhi salam said to them, you have carried the sinful loads of the riches of a people, meaning the people of Fir'aun, so purify yourselves from it. So the command came from Allah to Harun alayhi salam when he was with them. He said that take all the jewelry that you have, I'm going to make a fire. Okay? Harun alayhi salam tells them this, that I'm going to make a fire. What I want you to do is, I want you to throw all the jewelry in there. Right? And it will mold it and we'll throw it away, we'll get rid of it. The only religion, like the only deen of where you can take like the enemy's property, right, in battle and use it is Islam, right? Every other religion of the past, they weren't allowed this. So Musa alayhi salam's people were the same. They had to make a fire and burn all of it. So Harun alayhi salam made the fire. He made the fire. And then everyone started throwing in the jewelry. فَقَذَفْنَاهَا We threw it all in there, O Musa. They're telling Musa alayhi salam, we threw it all in there. فَكَذَلِكَ أَلْقَ السَّامِرِ When we threw, who also threw? Samiri also threw. It's literally the flip of what happened with the magicians. The magicians were all wrong, and Musa alayhi salam was right. And so the magicians threw their staffs, and Musa alayhi salam threw his, right? And Bani Israel are all right, and Samiri is wrong, right? Now, but Bani Israel, when they throw their stuff, and Samiri throws his stuff, and we'll talk about what stuff he threw. What happened was, when he threw it into there, the gold started to mold, and started to shape it. He started to make it and craft it. He was also a magician, right? Much like the magicians over there. So what he does is he starts to shape it and mold it like what? A cow, right? And so the idea here is that when... I'm so sorry, I really messed up the slides today. I really apologize about that. So when he shaped it into a cow, and the scholars write that he made it in such a way that the back end of the cow... was it had like this nice little aerodynamic, like a very nice circular spin in it, so that when air would go through it, right, it would go in from the back end to the front end, right? So there was like a hole from the back to the front. And so when air used to come in from the back, right, it used to make this sound like, like, you know, and people started to say like he made it into a real calf and stuff like that, but the Quran really doesn't support that. Allah is really disrespecting this calf. He didn't do anything. He says, "Akhrajtum ijdan jasadahu khuwar." He made a calf that is a dead body that makes a mooing sound. It makes a mooing sound, just the mooing. Faqalu, and so then Bani Israel was like, "Hada ilahukum ilahu Musa." This is the Lord of Musa and your Lord. Fanasi, Musa forgot. They were so inspired from this calf that they saw that when Sami just did a little bit of magic in front of them, they completely became misguided. Now you and I are wondering, why the heck did this happen? How did they? There are people like that. But Bani Israel was where? In Egypt, where people were worshipping what? Fir'aun, idols and everything. They were still people in their minds, although there were people outside of Islam. Inside their hearts were still corrupted with shirk and things like that. And so when they saw a little bit of it, they got attracted to it again. You know, when Musa alayhi salam first came out of out of Egypt, he came across the people that were worshipping idols. Bani Israel said, "Oh Musa, they have idols, can we have idols too?" And Musa said, "Are you guys qawmun tajhalun? Are you guys idiots? We don't worship idols, right?" So the idea here is that these people still have these ideas. And same thing happens in us when we came, let's be honest, we came out of Hindu lands. So a lot of our functions and celebrations and stuff still have all this Hindu asarat in them. And we can't seem to get out of it. It takes a long time for these things to get out. And this is the same thing that happened to Bani Israel here. That they were people that were slaves, people that saw shirk around them. So when they see shirk again, what did they do? Same thing here, unfortunately here too, like when we learn music is haram, and I don't mean to pick on anybody, right? I'm not here to pick up on anybody, of course. When we hear that music is haram, then and we know it's haram, but it's when the music starts playing, the foot starts tapping, the hand starts going up, and people are like, "Oh, let's just take off the hijab for a little bit, let's dance a little." All these stuff start to come back, all right? And we start to see these things. This guy had a wedding that was $50,000, I gotta do $60,000, at least, you know, at least, bare minimum. So the same thing that happened to Bani Israel is the same thing that we see in ourselves today. So Allah says that, and this is the last slide that we have, okay? فَنَسِي that this is your Lord and the Lord of Moses, and he forgot. Moses forgot, okay? Now the next part is a very interesting part where Samiri and Harun and all these things start to happen when Musa comes back and speaks to everyone. But inshallah ta'ala we'll do it on the next week inshallah when I fix this up. I apologize, that was my bad. I completely messed this up, the slides and things like that. So just some comparisons between both stories. The magicians had a secret meeting, right? We talked about And the same way Quraysh had a secret meeting, we spoke about that last time. The interesting part was this, is that the same way that Musa had followers that accept instantly, that people accept immediately, the same way you find companions of the Nabi who accept instantly as well. Right? The same way. The same way magicians accepted, we find Sahaba of Prophet, they also accepted. You know, and the sajda of the magicians was interesting. They come and make straight sujood. But only the magicians make sajda. That's the miracle of Nabi Muhammad, the Nabi Musa alayhi salam. What about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam? When Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam read Surah Najm in front of the entire community, it's mentioned the Quraysh were listening, and all of them started to listen so much, when at the end of Surah Najm is a sajda, right? So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam went for sajda, and the Sahaba went for sajda, all the Quraysh made sajda, all the jinns in the area made sajda, all the ink pots they mentioned also went for sujood too. They also tipped over. So Musa alayhi salam was able to make sajda to the magician. The magician made sajda. But Nabi Musa alayhi salam, Nabi Sallallahu alayhi salam, everyone made sajda when he did it. Musa alayhi salam rushes to please Allah. Right? He said, I came to you, Allah, so you could be pleased. And Allah says in Surah Al-Duha, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ لِتَرْضَى. And Allah says, O Prophet of Islam, we're going to give you soon, so you become pleased. This is how much love Allah has for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah for tawfiq and guidance. He allows us to appreciate this beautiful story. And he allows that, inshallah, next time we come together, we'll finish the story of the Samiri, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.